Welcome back to the Mail-In Podcast. I am your host, Brett Merriman. In front of me, the godfather himself, the originator of this podcast, and the associated column with it, Dylan Cheverie, is in the building. Dylan, what's going on?
Brett, my man, what's up?
How
Thanks
doing?
For having me.
How you doing?
Do you do the little sounds in post?
In yeah, I put them in post.
Post-pro?
Post-production.
Is that what they say in the biz?
In the biz, that's what we
okay.
do.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, it's fun to do a podcast that I'm totally unprepared for.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even read the questions. I kind of don't want to. I kind of just want to just fire from the hip a little bit.
I think that's
it's fun.
Because you get some more, some truth in there.
Yeah.
Like, right off the top of the dome.
You. I feel that.
I try to keep them pretty light today. You know, it's stuff that you can, you're able to do that with.
Look, I'll go light, I'll go heavy, I'll go whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Let's just ride, man.
Okay. We got Adam over there
we
on
do.
The ones and twos.
Yeah.
We give the mic, we put it over there just in case we need our youth correspondent. So
you got the old guy here and we got the young guy over there.
We got
Very
the young
cool.
gun. Before we get into the questions, you may be wondering, what is the Mail-In Podcast? If you're here for the first time, welcome. We do our best to answer your questions. You may run into situations, whether you're 20, 30, 40, doesn't matter, that you need help with, and we're here to do just that. Get a laugh in, maybe walk away with something useful at the end of the day. How's that sound, Dylan?
That's a great way of putting it, Brett.
How can you help us out? Give us some content and tell a friend about the podcast. It's a pretty easy way to get into Wash Media as a whole. Send them a clip. A-Town is going to be over there whipping up some clips, some seggies, if that makes sense. Subscribe on iTunes and follow on Spotify, please. Hit the hotline number, 888-362-MAIL. That's 888-362-6245, or you can write in at the link in the Twitter bio at Mail-In Podcast. Dylan, you want to just jump right in here?
I'm ready, man.
Boom, let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's warm up. Let's warm up with a good
Ooh,
one
okay,
right here. How
okay.
about this? What's going on, gang? What is the etiquette for golfing as a single and being paired with a random threesome or twosome? I'm golfing at the Ocean Course at Kiowa, Low Key Flex, later this summer as a solo and going to get paired with a group. Help me out.
Okay.
Solo group etiquette.
Full disclosure, I have never once in my life shown up to a golf course solo
Come
to play
on.
Golf. I don't intend to either.
Oh, does it make you uncomfortable?
No. I just, okay. to me, the whole golf is, it's like 70% actually playing golf and 30% like camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And I need that extra 30% to get me there.
Okay.
But you know my game is trash these days, right? I've kind of been talking about it. I've been playing badly, really
yeah.
badly. I don't play very much. I'm having back problems. And so if I'm going to play golf, I'm going to make it really count. So I'm gonna link with the boys, you know?
You're not going out there just to get some rounds under your belt.
Absolutely not.
Man, I'm the opposite. I love going
yeah.
out and getting paired. I love meeting people.
Yeah, I think I'm a rarity. I mean, I do love golf, but mm-hmm. I used to enjoy playing more than I do now. So now it's just a fun outing for me with friends.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you enjoy like any activity solo, whether it's like maybe it's bellying up to a bar or like an airport beer, right? Like do you like anything?
I will like that. Yeah, I will like to go to a bar. I don't really do this. The opportunity if it presents itself, I will grab it. Like being
yeah.
at the airport, for example, and wanting to go get a glass of wine at a restaurant or sit at the bar and have a beer, I will do that. I've had meals before by myself. I will sit if I can. I will sit at the bar.
Yeah, that's the move.
Yeah, I'm a bar diner. I love to do that. Bae and I do that. We'll just go sit at the bar and eat, and it's fantastic. I love
mm-hmm.
it. But solo, yeah, I will do that occasionally solo.
Yeah,
never golf though.
Never golf. Man, it's fun to roll up, like especially like a twilight round, right? Where you're maybe you'll get in 16 of the 18.
Yeah.
You're just out there having a good time. You meet a twosome or a threesome.
Here's what I will say about golfing solo or playing with someone who you were matched up with solo.
Yeah.
If I show up to a golf course solo, I don't want to play with strangers. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that strangers don't want to play with me.
Gotcha.
So if you're at a golf course that's maybe not on the nicer end of golf courses, this obviously is not going to include Kiowa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But if you're playing at it like a Muni track and you get paired up with somebody, it's okay to like separate from the group. Like, you know what? Play ahead. I'm gonna fall back and I'm gonna take my time and do my own thing.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be very welcome to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
and you gotta if you gotta deal with the course marshal, it's not gonna be that big a deal. But a place like Kiawah, that's probably not gonna be an option for you.
No, but right? the other side of the coin at Kiawah, you're probably getting some dudes who, this is either a big vacation for them. Like, you're not going to Kiawah to play an afternoon Thursday round, and like that's it.
True.
You're staying.
True.
So it's a potential to make like friends with the boys or ladies for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you play a Friday round, and all of a sudden you have dinner plans after this. I just like the fact that he's going to Kiawah solo, period. Like a solo vacation. I don't know if it's a work thing or maybe it's something.
Or maybe he's on a trip with his wife.
Oh,
his girlfriend or something. And she's like, you know what? Go treat yourself. I'm going to go to the spa.
Mm-hmm.
You go play golf. It could be a situation like that.
Definitely. Definitely.
But yeah, that it is a great opportunity to meet some cool people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're going to become lifelong friends with these people, but you'll have good 4 or 5 hours of conversation, you know, and you mix it up with them and you start to joke with them by the fifth or sixth hole a little bit. And that's fun. It's fun. It's fun to meet new people.
No doubt. I think as far as etiquette goes, you kind of mix in with whatever group you're with. Like you're not hitting a breakfast ball if nobody else is, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of whatever rules they're playing or whatever vibe they're bringing.
Yeah.
You try to kind of match that.
Asking what the etiquette is here is a pretty broad question to ask. Like, what are you talking about specifically? Talking about the actual golf part of it? Or just like the interactions, I don't really know what all that means.
I would imagine it's more etiquette adjacent. Like, are you blasting your own speaker for yourself if the group is not down to like listen to Billy Joel?
If you're
Joel.
Solo with the group, you have to kind of play by their rules. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Play by the rules.
Majority rules here, and you're the solo. You're kind of infringing a little bit. Not that it's intentional or anything, but you know you're matched up with them, so you gotta kind of just do what they want to do. I think.
Put yourself in their shoes and be like, what would I want in a solo that's hanging with us? Be fun. Don't be too, you know, jokey on the tee box or whatever. Just play your game, have fun, and you'll end up with a couple friends.
There you go.
How about that?
Well said.
You know where else you can bring a couple friends, Dylan?
Where's that?
Over to the house for a barbecue. Who's helping out with that?
Are you talking Butcher Box?
I'm talking Butcher Box.
Let's go.
Are you itching for the outdoors this summer? It is grilling season. Get ready for that summer cookout with Butcher Box. Butcher Box is giving meat, putting meat in my freezer all summer long, Dylan.
Wow.
And you know what I'm doing? I'm hopping out by the pool with a community grill, and I'm throwing some steaks on, or I'm throwing some burgers on, or I'm throwing some pork belly on. It's just the whole night, man.
They got it all covered, don't they?
Get that sucker up to like 500, 550, and just...
Ooh.
They call me the upstate New York sear guy.
You're saying at in your apartment complex, they call you the upstate New York sear guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yep. I put the sear in Sears. I couldn't find a good nickname, so that's what I made up in my head. ButcherBox gives you the flexibility to make any gathering a ButcherBox gathering. It's hard to find 100% grass-fed beef these days unless you want to pay an arm and a leg or free-range organic chicken, Dylan. There's spots for it, but you have to hunt it down. ButcherBox is making it easy because it delivers it to your door. Luckily, today's sponsor, ButcherBox, believes everyone deserves high-quality, humanely sourced meat, and it couldn't be easier. You hop in, you sign up, you select your box, and they ship it right to your door.
100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage pork, wild-caught Alaska salmon. Are you kidding me?
You're a big salmon guy.
Sugar nitrate-free bacon.
I love salmon. What's your salmon recipe real quick?
Salt.
Yep.
Pepper.
Okay.
And I pan sear it.
And you pan sear
it. That easy.
Boom.
And it's delish.
A-Town over there, what's your favorite cut of meat?
Chicken.
Or
steak.
Chicken.
He goes, chicken. What's your favorite cut of meat?
No chicken. One's saying chicken. Okay.
If you're like me and Dylan, you're probably going with a nice steak on the grill. If you're like Adam, you're going free-range chicken.
Very cool.
Which ButcherBox is happy to provide you?
Don't get me wrong. Chicken's great.
It is.
But it's no one's favorite meat.
Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. That can last you a couple months in the summer, depending on your grilling routine. It's packed fresh, shipped frozen, and vacuum-sealed, so it stays that way. Customize your box or go with one of theirs. Either way, you're getting exactly what you want. ButcherBox is the most affordable and convenient way to get healthy, humanely raised meat, and you get the highest quality product for around $6 a meal. And it's free shipping nationwide. I mean, are you kidding me, Dylan? You kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Backed by popular demand, here's the deal. You're getting free bacon for life. Are you serious? Right now, new members can get bacon for life when they sign up at butcherbox.com/mailin. That's a free package of bacon in every box for life of your subscription when you go to butcherbox.com/mailin.
Sick.
Free bacon. I like that promotion.
I'm ready to talk boots, man.
Let's talk boots. What's up, boys? I need a good pair of boots. For the first time in my life, I'm moving to more of a traditional but casual office setting, and I want a good pair of cowboy boots to wear around the office or on weekends. Looking for brands to look for, avoid, color, material, etc. Thanks. Love you. Bye. Dylan, you're the boot guy of Austin, Texas.
I'm not the boot guy of Austin, Texas. Certainly there are people out there who know a lot more about boots than I do, but I did grow up in Texas, and I do have seven-ish pairs of boots.
Seven-ish.
Okay. I don't know exactly. I have cowhide, and I have ostrich. Mm-hmm. I have iguana, and I have gator.
Ooh.
Those are the skins that I have. The
four main food groups.
Sure. Some people say that for your first pair of boots, you have to kind of limp in. You can't go big. Mm-hmm. Don't go snakeskin.
Ooh.
Don't go gator.
Mm. Or caiman.
Caiman, of course, is a small alligator.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Brett.
They have a great cider, too.
They do. Forgot. What's it called?
Caiman cider.
Anyway. Yes. So I'm not saying you have to just start with cowhide, mm-hmm. just a traditional, you know, leather cowboy boot. You can go I think ostrich is the first. It's a great introductory exotic pair of skin.
That has the little pokes on it?
It has the little quills on it. Yes. Some people don't like the look of the quills. You're one of them.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. I love them. The boots I wear most often are my light brown ostrich skin boots, and I absolutely love them. They're also, the skin is really soft.
Okay.
And therefore, they're very comfortable boots, which is, I think, why I kind of look for them in the closet when I'm getting dressed. You know,
because
they're just so comfortable. I think they look sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pair of Larry Mahan ostrich skin boots that I've had for probably 15 to 20 years, somewhere in there. I've had them for a very long time. They were not expensive at all. They were probably like just over $200.
That's kind of a sweet spot for intro. Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's why I'm recommending. I don't even know if Larry Mahan's still making boots, honestly, but I've had them for 15 to 20 years. They've held up extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
They're so comfortable. They look great. Light brown. But yeah, I'm going to throw another brand out there, Tecovas.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're based in Austin.
I think you're right.
I think they're based in Austin. And look, if you like the look of, oh my gosh.
Like Chelsea? Where are you trying to go?
I'm thinking of the brand, the expensive brand.
Lucchese,
thank you. If you like the look of Lucchese, but you don't want to spend Lucchese money, look at Tecovas, man. Mm. It's a great alternative. The quality is right there. The look is right there. They're just not – they don't have the Lucchese name, and they're not – you know, you're going to pay hundreds less for them. Yeah.
To the person who asked this question, I'm in the same boat here.
Yeah.
I've lived here for almost 2 years now, which is fucking crazy to think about. And I am still in the market for a pair of boots because I was going to get some for a rodeo last year in Houston. And the pandemic shut that down.
Yeah.
So, like, literally the day I was going to a Cody Johnson concert, it was like, no longer.
Yeah.
And the boots, the dream of the boots went with it. That being said.
Did you have any narrowed down, any brands, any styles?
Tecovas is the move.
Yeah.
For an intro, starter
they're
pair.
Awesome. They really are. It is a great boot. I don't actually own a pair. But
really?
if I were to buy another pair of boots, I will look at Tecovas first.
It's sort of like, Is there any boot brand that's like a Lucchese light, like Bonanza is to Camus, where it's the same leather producer or?
I don't know.
You like that analogy though?
I don't know Bonanza.
It's Camus. It's from the same vineyard.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Does it taste the same?
It's like, well, no.
No. But okay.
It's like they're, you know.
I don't know.
But Tecovas is the answer, yeah. Right? It's they. I'd love for them to sponsor this podcast.
Actually, most of my boots are from Mexico. So we used to have a hunting lodge in Mexico. I think I may have told you about that before.
Sure.
And a town over, there's a little custom bootmaker. You walk in there, and they would like measure your feet.
That's
and
tight.
You would actually pick the skin off the wall, or you could buy them off the shelf too. But if you want to get them actually custom made for your feet, you could. And you pick out the skin, and then like a month later, they ship the boots to you. It's pretty sick.
That's unreal.
Yeah, I have some iguanas and some gators from there. They're great.
That's solid. That's solid. Yeah, I'm with this guy though. I'm in the market. I think the first one you go, that's not going to get you. You know, people aren't going to be turning heads in the office. It's just a solid pair. It's like cowskin, brown Tecovas for like $300.
Or you know what? If you want to save some money, Justin Boots, which is a very common brand, they make It's a fine boot. It's a good quality boot. If you want just a cowhide brown leather, good starter boot, there's nothing wrong with getting a Justin.
I like that
at all.
Okay,
nothing wrong with it.
I think we painted a picture for this guy. I'm excited for him. The office boot, what's that?
Please don't go square toe.
Oh.
Please don't go square toe. I know there are certain regions of this country where people.
You can call out Lubbock, man. You can just call
them out. It's not just Lubbock, man. Some of the Southeast, too. I'm telling you. It's. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I think they look terrible.
They do.
They look really so bad. And they has like, usually they come with like the super prominent stitching on them, you know?
Yes.
And
it looks, the rubber kind of sticks out from the front of the square.
But a lot of like real cowboy type people will wear those boots. So it makes me think like, okay, there might be something to it. But as far as looks go, I just don't get it.
Did we have the debate on square toe versus round toe? Was it is it older folks generally lean square toe as well? No matter where they're at?
I don't think so.
Okay. I feel like sometimes it's the older folks doing like the pointy toe.
So I like a rounded point. Like there's like point toes, which look goofy.
Super
rounded
goofy.
Look like work boots to me, like Wolverine like work boots, which I also am not into. I like a pointed toe, but it's like a rounded point. There's a name for it. I forgot what it is.
That's know my what style. Rounded point.
It's all of my boots are this style.
Chelsea all boot of type of point.
No.
But the point on a Chelsea boot.
Is a no for me.
What?
The Chelsea?
The Chelsea boot style.
Maybe I'm not picturing it like you are.
They have a point. That's what kind of what you're looking for.
Okay. I don't want like a point.
No.
But also, I don't want between round and point.
Deal. I'm in. Same thing. Let us know what boots you get. I want to see these.
Yeah.
Let's do the next one. What's up, Mail and Crew? Love the pot. I'm a longtime listener who always finds your advice helpful, thank you, but haven't written in before. So first time, long time. I'm going through a tough breakup right now. Even though it wasn't my longest relationship, it was the one I was most in love with. We were exclusive for 9 months, and I recently found out he went on a triple date while we were together. One of his friends met a girl on Hinge, and she brought two friends, so he also brought two friends. One of them was her ex. Okay. Apparently nothing happened on the date, and he claims he only went to wingman his friend / be less creepy. She says, I don't buy this because nothing is creepy about meeting up with a girl for drinks you met on Hinge. Since that date, the 3-on-3, our relationship did go downhill, and I did feel things were different, so I feel it had a big role in it ending. Even though it's over, he still won't admit that he wanted to see other people. My question is, do you guys have any advice on how to move on when you still love your ex and they won't give you any closure by admitting the truth? A little bit heavy. There's two parts to this question that I want to address. The first part, I don't think it's that weird to go on like a group, not a group date, but like go with your boy when he's meeting a girl for the first time from a Hinge date. I don't think that's that crazy.
It depends on things.
Yeah.
It depends on the entire context of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
How is your friend setting it up? Is like, okay, we're going on a date, or is like, hey, I need help. Like, this girl is bringing some friends. I need you guys to come with me and you know, be mm-hmm. there for me. A lot of it, I don't know. I don't know enough.
I need another side of the story.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that situation. But either way, I wouldn't think it would be like a deal breaker, but it would definitely be a conversation starter. Like, okay, what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going on this triple date with another girl, with three other girls? What's going on?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Like, I would need a damn good explanation for it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I do want to hear his, if he's really playing the, we're here for Brendan and he's doing his thing with his girl and we're kind of like the moral support. Wasn't there an app called like Grouper?
Grouper, yeah.
Where you would like this specific scenario, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was just like, put three people on three people and see what happens.
A question I would have is, did he explain to her what was happening before he went on this triple date? Or did he just go on it and have to fill her in later? Huge difference there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, hey,
Brendan needs me. I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to go hang out with him. Mm-hmm. And her friend is bringing two friends, so we're going to be there and just kind of make the situation more comfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
Or is it like, hey, I went on this date.
Yeah, sorry.
Totally.
Yeah. You know what? The whole thing could have been saved by, because the context I think of it is three guys at a bar, three girls at a bar, two of them, like one of each of the group is kind of into each other, and the groups kind of come together at the bar over drinks or a table or something like that. I don't think that's that weird of a situation to be like talking to another group of people.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
That's not weird.
But if it's set up as
like us three are going to meet you three
and see where the chemistry goes.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's a bit weird.
So I need the context from the other side.
But that's not what she's asking though.
She's asking, how do you move on?
How do you move on
when you still love an ex?
She wants closure. Look, I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't want to hear, but like every like relationship guru, every book you read, every podcast you listen to about this type of stuff will say the exact same thing.
Okay.
And it's that no one is responsible for you moving on. Mm-hmm. It is your sole responsibility. Closure is so helpful. I get it. I always want closure when something like that happens. I've asked for it before. Sometimes I've gotten it. Sometimes I didn't. And each time I realize that, you know, it's not their responsibility for me to, like, move on. It's on me. They don't want to be with you. And that's pretty much all you really should have to know in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not fun because if someone says, look, I don't want to be with you because of A, B, and C, it's like, okay, now I know.
Right.
If you don't know, it prolongs it. It prolongs the healing. And I get it. It sucks. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the relationship is over and it's time for you to move the hell on. And the only thing that has proven to work is time.
Mm-hmm. Time heals all.
Time is undefeated. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say to you. Closure is helpful. I get it. You want it. But don't depend on closure to move on. Move on your own terms, not on someone else's terms.
I like that. I don't think I've ever actually heard that. Granted, I haven't.
You've never really been broken up with?
No. Well, I've had a couple like mutual breakups, so it's been.
Yeah.
But I've never been like dumped and still been.
I mean, if someone breaks up with you and they lay out the reason.
It just gives you the roadmap.
It's like all right, you know what? It hurts to hear, but I know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't have to wonder if, like, you're going to come back around and, like, want to be with me at a later point.
Yeah.
But that's why people seek closure, because they think, like, okay, maybe they're not sure. Maybe there's, like, the door still, you know, cracked open or whatever, and that's not healthy for anybody.
Yeah. If you get the, like, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably lose it if I got – I wouldn't know what to do. I would say this exact question.
A really unfair thing you can say to somebody, it's been said to me, is like you break up with them and be like, I don't know if I'm always going to feel it. Maybe I want to be with you later on. Like, I just need time. That's so unfair.
Yeah.
You can't do that to somebody. It fucks with their head.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. Just break it. Break it off. Clean break. And if you do feel differently later on, then you come back around and revisit the situation. But don't keep them hanging. That's not cool.
I like that. I absolutely like that. So move on. It's your responsibility to move on. It's nobody else's.
No one else's responsibility to move on. It's
like
on
that.
You.
I like that. Boom. And in terms of advice on how to do exactly that,
It's stay active, keep your mind busy, stay active. You don't have to like go on dates with other people, but be around people and, and you know, see what your friends are up to. Go to dinners and
I was gonna say say family. Say yes to things.
Go on a trip, go exercise, be active, keep your mind busy, and then just give it time. That's it.
Boom. Go play Kiowa solo. I like that.
That's right.
Next question. Unless Adam has any breakup advice.
I do not. That was good advice for me, though. I appreciate that.
Oh. Okay.
Oh,
we'll talk after the pod. What's up, guys? Any advice for being a plus one of a member of the bridal party? I have done it twice with my girlfriend of a year, even using vacation time, but they were for family weddings. The next one coming up feels different. This one will be for her close friend's wedding, which requires longer travel and more time off. The kicker for me is that I will know absolutely zero people there or in the town to mingle with while waiting and will not be around my girlfriend for a majority of the event, even at dinner. I guess wedding party is separate from dates in this situation. Mm-hmm. I am not afraid of conversation with a new face, but I'm definitely not an extrovert. Rounding all of it off, I'm not thrilled with the bachelorette party group that will be going to a major party city. I have expressed my thoughts to my girlfriend and basically received, not my choice, that's just how it is. Tips, advice, thoughts? Thanks.
I used to have very similar complaints when I was in my late 20s, and I was I was with my ex-wife. We were just that age where all of our friends were getting married.
Okay.
And there were destination weddings, and there were out-of-town bachelor parties. We didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so like we had to like pick and choose our trips, you know? We couldn't just go jet setting across the country whenever we wanted. We had like, okay, one vacation this year. We have X amount of dollars to spend on it. What should we do? Mm-hmm. But when you have a bunch of friends that are getting married and you have to go, it's like all your vacations are planned for you. You know what I mean? Like maybe I don't want to go to Cancun in September. Maybe I want to go to Napa Valley instead. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You're going to Cancun, and that's the only trip you can afford that year. And it sucks.
Yeah. You don't know anybody but your
it's like
significant other.
I don't get to plan my trip. What do you mean? Like, no, sorry. We have to go. This is my best friend. And it sucks, but you know what? It's one of the downfalls of having like a big friend group, which is a blessing, right? It's
sure.
You want to have a bunch of close friends. You want to be invited to this kind of stuff. So you just kind of have to suck it up and get over it.
Yeah.
You do. And there will come a time where you get to do your own shit.
Yeah.
You know? Like for the past several years, I've been in control of my own, you know, destiny.
I get
to go wherever the hell I want to go. And with whom I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks, but it's a temporary phase of your life, and you just kind of have to suck it up, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I did this last August where I went to my girlfriend's, one of her best friends' weddings in Florida, and didn't know a soul.
Yeah.
I was lucky because her parents also went. So I had something to do on like that Saturday. If not, I would have gone to the beach or the hotel bar. And just saddled up and made friends as they pass along. But I think that what you have to do is you can't think about it the way you're thinking about it, where you're like, oh, woe is me. I'm not going to know anybody. I'm not going to see my girlfriend. She's going to introduce you to people on Friday night. She's going to introduce you to people on.
You will make friends there.
Absolutely.
You're going to have fun.
And even if they're not friends, vacation friends are a certain breed of people where. Mm-hmm. You have a couple cocktails at a tiki bar next to somebody, and all of a sudden you're talking about your high school baseball career.
I'm going to enjoy the shit out of you for the next 2 days, and I'm never going to see you again.
Never. Maybe you follow each other on Instagram.
Yeah,
and
but probably not.
Exactly.
And then you unfollow them a week later. Like, why did I follow this person who I'm never going to talk to again?
Yeah, but it's
– you're going to make friends. You're going to have fun. Like,
right.
You absolutely will, even though you have to just roll with the punches and go where they decide you're going and be around the people that they choose. You're still going to have a good time. You're still going on a trip. Trips are dope.
Yeah, and he says he's not an extrovert, which I'm not either, but something about being in that environment, right? You're being in the presence of true love, Dylan.
You're not an extrovert?
No.
I'm
I don't consider
either.
Myself an extrovert. But, like, I can't go up to a bar, somebody at a bar.
Oh, I'm never been that guy.
Like, I can't go up to a girl.
Not once have I ever approached a woman out in the wild. Not once in my entire life.
I don't think I have either. I can't
do it.
What do
you say?
I can't do it.
Hey, I'm Dylan. That's all I have. What's up? What's up with you?
Yeah, but you're hot. So
stop. No, I'm not. But like, what do you say? Like, what's your major? Like, what do you do?
This is, man, we might have to like body,
some guys
body
just
camp.
Some guys just have it.
Oh, absolutely.
Some guys are just absolute naturals at it, and I've envied those guys.
You know, my move. I'm doing move in air quotes here. My move is to get a third party involved. If I'm attracted to somebody at a bar, I get the bartender involved, and she'll order a drink. I'll order a drink. And be like, oh, you're doing Casa Azul, are you? Okay. Like, something. Get a third-party bartender person to make the connection.
I would have to have a very specific thing that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the end, though. You know what you're doing.
I don't. I'm telling you, I don't. I've never been that guy. I'm not that guy.
I'm not that guy, pal. But so yours have been friends of friends, like introduced type of thing?
Yeah. Mutual friends. I've done the dating apps a little bit. Mm-hmm. But never have I just met someone organically.
You've never cold opened?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how.
Man.
Some guys just can't do it, and I'm one of them, man. I'm introverted. I'm confident in certain ways. Conversationally, yeah. Not always.
You get on the Papa Shot table, it's game over.
I suck at Papa Shot.
Golden Tee.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, if she's playing Golden Tee, then maybe I'll have an end, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I'm a bartender guy. Get the bartender involved, make friends with the bartender, and he or she will be able to help you out.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always because I was always better. Like, girls I dated would come out of, like, group projects. Or like camps or like lake house trips where you have something automatically to talk about. But if I'm cold and I'm just saying, hey, I'm Brett, I got nothing.
If I have something to talk about, I'm great conversationally, mm-hmm. but I can't create conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It has to just happen.
So that's why.
Like if I'm on a date and she says, well, tell me about your job, I'll talk for 20 minutes.
Yep.
I'll have a lot to say, and I'll be great at it. But if there's a silence after that, if there's dead air, I'm like, you know what? I'm out. I'm out of stuff to say. Like, what do you got? And I'll just like stare off. Like, I hope she comes up with something.
Oh man, are you?
When I went on my date with Brittany, my first one.
Okay.
She was like, she's a pro. Like she kind of does that for a living. Like she entertains people, and mm-hmm. she was like, there was not a second of dead air. We was finished talking about something that I actually cared about. And mm-hmm. she would just, all right, let's talk about this. Go to the next thing. Boom. Let's talk about your dad shit. Like, I'm a mom. You're a dad. What do you like to do? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, let's fucking go.
Let's go.
We just went off on the next topic.
You're just talking like kids television
shows.
She's
a pro, man. Yeah.
Man, that is fun. When you, like, obviously there's part of that that's clicking with somebody. But other, like, being in a conversation with somebody who knows how to do that stuff and can really almost
money.
Sell you on yourself.
Money.
Or their self.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can't beat it.
I was on a heater that night because of her. She helped me along.
Let's go.
It was great. Shouts to Bay.
She'd be a great wing woman then, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah. She can talk to anybody about anything.
Adam, you hear that?
I did.
Adam's still over there. Adam's thinking about the last question where we just ruined his.
Did we answer this person's questions efficiently?
I think so. The only thing I'm kind of questionable on is he says, I'm not thrilled with a bachelorette party group that will be going to a major party city. Is that like,
he thinks they're like too wild ass
too wild and they're gonna go to Miami and have like too much fun or get
I don't really know what that means.
Like she's not gonna bang another dude at the pool, if that's what you're wondering. Like, don't worry about that stuff.
Is that kind of the angle he's thinking?
Maybe I'm
if she's taking you
that,
on a trip. The trip with her, you don't have anything to worry about.
But the bachelorette.
Oh, the bachelorette party. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry about that stuff.
That's what he's referring to.
Yeah, don't worry about that stuff. That's stuff that creates a rift that you don't need because it's creating fake scenarios in your mind that you don't need to be worried.
Yeah, don't get in your head, man.
No.
Just if you trust her, trust her.
Oh, exactly. You know who I trust, Dylan.
Is this about ritual?
It is. I trust ritual. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every single day. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms that your body can actually use. You know what you won't find, Dylan? Sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants.
I'm out on those things.
I'm out on all of those things. Plus,
I take these every day.
Dude, me
guess
too.
Guess who else does?
Me.
Parks.
Whoa.
My son, they have a kid gummy.
Do they?
He pops them like candy. Little does he know, he's getting good shit in his body.
He's getting good shit. You know what he's getting?
Tell me.
Vitamin D3, high-quality nutrients, bioavailable formats that he can actually use. Yeah. And you know what's cool about this? I don't know how the science works here.
You know they're time-released.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're about to say?
No. They navigate in your stomach to a less sensitive area, so they don't make you feel like sick or...
I think the time-release, it kind of, it all does the same shit.
Yeah. Boom.
Because you take a you know, competing brand vitamin, and it hits your stomach all at once, and it's
it's like, I
feel sick.
That.
Not Ritual, baby.
No, that's why you stay in a Ritual with these things. They fill in gaps in your diet. They just kind of make you feel better when you're taking these.
They smell fantastic.
Smell phenomenal when you pop the top. And like you said, women, men, teens, kids, they got something for everybody over at Ritual. Specifically designed and scientifically developed to help support different life stages no matter what. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every single month with free shipping always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription at any time. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, guess what? You're getting a refund on your order. Risk-free. Try it. You'll love it. We all do.
Yes, we do.
Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering listeners of the podcast 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/randy. That's ritual.com/randy to start your Ritual today. Let's do the next one, Dylan.
I'm ready.
Hey, guys. I've gone on about 5 dates with this girl, and they've all gone pretty well. Dun-dun-dun. After texting back and forth one day, she dropped on me that she needs a place to stay for about a week while moving apartments and asked if she can stay with me. This is definitely a weird favor to ask someone you've known for a month, and I'm fairly certain she's not crazy, but you never know. I definitely like this girl and would like to keep seeing her, but how do I nicely say, absolutely not, I still sometimes forget your last name, and not sound like a total prick? Also, some additional context, she's new to the city and doesn't really have any friends that she can crash with. What are you doing here, Mr. Shivery?
First of all, she's asking too much of this person.
Okay.
She is. I mean, you have to, there are alternative options here.
Right.
An Airbnb. Work some kind of like, work something out with, I don't know. I would never in a million years ask this of somebody. Never.
I'm kind of into it.
I'm not.
I'm kind of into it.
No, I'm not so opposed to someone staying with me like this, but I'm opposed to asking this of somebody.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
You're cool if she kind of brings it up casually.
I don't know how cool I am with it. I'm just saying, if I was really into her, I would be down for it, of course.
Yeah, think of the possibilities, Dylan.
Right. You're also going to learn a lot about how compatible you guys are quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And really? So it could be a make or break situation, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just be, I don't know, this is just asking so much of somebody so soon.
See, I agree with that, right? A month in and you're getting the, hey, can I stay with you for a week?
So they've gone on 5 dates.
But, yeah, that's enough time. They know each other pretty well
here.
Yeah,
5 dates is, okay. 5 dates is, it can.
It's not a hinge match. Right, that is, right. That they've never seen each other face to face.
5 dates means that they like each other. They've probably slept together by this point.
Oh.
After 5 dates.
Maybe they've not bumped uglies. I don't know.
Most people sleep together like on the 3rd day.
Number 3?
I think so. I think that's. Yeah. I think so.
I that's probably if you're going to do a bell curve, you know.
3 dates in.
That's probably where you get the most.
Yeah. Let's knock boots, as the kids say.
Yep.
They don't say that.
What do they call
old
it?
People say that.
The
Smush.
Two-step or something like that. What's the dance one?
The horizontal limbo.
Yeah. Toe curling.
Toe curling. A little roll in the hay.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Adam, you got any colloquial terms?
I like horizontal tango. That's what I've used before.
Horizontal tango.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
Anyway, sex is what we're talking
right.
about.
Right, 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 right.
So, yeah, five dates. You know what? I'm backing off my stance a little bit.
Okay.
Taking a couple steps back. Five dates is kind of a lot of dates.
It's not an insignificant amount of dates to a weekend is one thing. A weekend would be like, green light. Go ahead. She's got to move out on a Friday, move in on a Monday.
Right.
A week is...
It's a long time. I still would not ask this of somebody
mm-hmm.
after five dates, but if I was completely out of options, I might consider it. Or like... Lay out my terms to them to see if they extend the offer to me or something. That's a lot.
I like to rom-com my life a little bit, Dylan. And this feels like a Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey classic right here. She's new to the city. She needs a place to stay. He's got a dope little bachelor pad. Clean that sucker up. Get the vacuum out. Do the floors maybe. And spend a week getting to know each other. Maybe open a bottle of wine or three. I don't know.
No. Excuse me. It could be fun.
Yeah.
It could be a great time, and you could, like, realize that you are seriously into this person.
Mm-hmm.
It could not go well.
It could go horrendously.
A week is a long time.
It is. You're gonna learn a lot about that person.
Wearing out your welcome is a very real term.
Yes. And you're still relatively new to this whole thing. You're going to run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, you could get totally sick of this girl 4 days in, 3 days in.
But
it could absolutely happen.
Going back to our a couple of questions ago, maybe this is the best thing for you because you know right now if this is going to be long-term or not.
Yeah. And guess what? Most relationships are not long-term. Actually, almost all of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're single, that means 100% of your relationships have failed. If you think of it that way. Like, really.
Damn.
It's true. What percentage of relationships work out long-term?
Very rarely. I'm thinking like the divorce statistic is 50, right? 50%.
Right. And that's after you think that's after an extended period of time of dating that person and realizing, oh, I do want to spend my life with this person.
Yeah.
And then you just don't. Right.
Right.
This is
so
five
it's like
dates.
How many? Wow.
You know what I mean?
What's the stat where like how many relationships end in like engagement or marriages? Right. So like call it 5%?
7%, we'll call
it. So statistically.
93% chance this isn't going to work out. I mean, that's just the numbers of it, right?
We're doing math here.
Think about it.
And then think of the divorce statistic, 50%. And then the second marriages, 50% of those are toast.
I don't know. So is that. This percentage has got to go down. The divorce rate has to go down for second time marriages? Yeah. Because people don't want to fuck with that shit again.
Yeah, that's true. That's
a divide your assets again.
Expensive, right?
The divorce itself for me wasn't expensive, but I gave up half of my shit.
That's yeah. It's not cheap.
No. But, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, still, yeah. I mean, child support. I mean, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So hey, this is gonna work out anyway. Might as well fucking do it.
Yeah, but it might be a bad week. It might be a great week. It might be a
awesome
shit
week.
I don't know.
Make dinner together. Make a little flatbread. I made a flatbread last night. Buffalo chicken. Fantastic, Dylan.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
But if you don't want her to do this, then speak up about it
yeah.
and say, like, this is putting too much pressure on the situation. I went on a vacation with Brittany
mm-hmm.
after dating her for just a few weeks.
You did.
I already had the trip planned, so it wasn't like we planned it together. I had it planned. I was going to go by myself. She's like, you know what? What if I just came with you?
Ooh.
And what I said was, hey, it'd be so much fun if you went on this trip with us or with me,
yeah.
but it's going to put a lot of pressure on us up front. I hope you know that.
I like that. You were up front.
I said, I would love it. I think it'd be a lot of fun if you went, but
yeah.
we're going to learn a lot about each other real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I'm going.
Ooh.
She's like, I'm going. I was like, let's
okay.
go.
Let's go.
Let's go. And so she's only there for 3 nights. We spent 3 nights together and it was
yeah.
perfect, but it couldn't have been, you know, it couldn't,
right.
it's not always going to be perfect.
So let me tell, I'll say this to this guy. Open up the mind a little bit. I know a week is a long time. I know it's quick. I know it's soon. I think more good than bad comes out of it. More good potential options than bad. Because the bad is just the one.
Yeah.
Like you hate each other after a week.
Yeah.
maybe get her to, you know, throw in some grocery money too. Last one, Dylan.
Let's go.
What's up, guys? I have been dating my girlfriend for a while now, and we are at the point where we feature each other on IG stories/posts. They're Facebook official, Dylan. Mm-hmm. My problem is that we take 1,000 pictures, but she will only give me one to post. I'll usually find the pic she chooses is pretty unflattering of me, and as a result, I just tend to share less. So she gets mad at that. Do I need to lean into having a bad IG, or should I tell her that it's obvious she's only looking at herself when she chooses pics for us to share?
I feel like this is such a relatable situation for a lot of people.
Guys, I mean, this is, it's like you don't have the, you get second pick when it comes to the photo.
There's a, when I was in Cabo with Bay, we took a bunch of pictures, right? We posted some. There's some really good ones in there.
Yeah.
The ones where, in my opinion, I look the hottest.
Okay.
For some reason, the lighting was perfect, and I just looked like the fittest I've ever looked in a picture in my life.
Oh, hell yeah.
It will never see the light of day.
Oh.
Because she's also in it, and she doesn't like how she looks.
Right.
So we have to respect that. I think she looks gorgeous.
Right.
She doesn't like it. So it's just going to sit in my camera roll for the
forever.
The rest of my life.
You just swipe through every once in a while. You're like,
no one's ever. I'm like, man, I'll go back to like, I looked good that day, but no one's ever gonna see it.
You can't crop too.
You can't crop her out because. Anyway.
At this point, you lean into it, right? Because you like, it's not like you're using your Instagram as a dating profile anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at the point where you're throwing IGs up and stories up, like,
There's also a picture I posted. I did a slideshow from our Cabo trip.
They're calling those photo dumps now.
Well, this is not a photo dump. This is all from one occasion.
Of the trip.
Isn't a photo dump kind of just like, well, this is what I've been doing the past month?
It could be. Anyway. I'm not hip.
Our Cabo, the second slide, I think I look like trash in it. Like, I really do. It's a bad angle. My facial hair looks trash, but she looks so hot in this picture. I was like, Brittany, I'm taking one for the team.
Wow,
here. I'm gonna sacrifice how I look for how great you look.
Okay,
and we're posting it. She was like, you know what? I really appreciate that.
Look at you.
Yeah,
that's a
gentleman. One for the team.
You wouldn't let her go first slide on that. That had to be buried.
No, first slide was me with my, you know, I had to pop top.
That was heat.
anyway,
young correspondent Adam, is it photo dump official? Definition.
It's like a month. You know, random photos from a month. They don't have to be corresponding to anything. Just anything you got in the camera.
When I think photos up, I don't think all from the same occasion.
Okay. Thank you, Adam.
I
was questionable on that definition.
But now that you are with somebody, this is just the nature of social media once you're locked down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You don't get to pick all your pictures anymore.
Nope.
Someone else gets to do that for you.
I'd argue you get to pick less at this point.
Yeah,
you might have a what's the word I'm looking for? A courtesy say, but you're not getting the first draft pick.
No, absolutely not.
No.
But you should ask for veto rights.
Okay.
I think veto rights is a mutual respect thing. Like, okay, you know what? You can't post that. I look like shit in it.
That's like you can. I'll give you a lot here. Not, that's that one where we can't go with.
That you got to have veto rights.
Yeah.
But if there's one where she looks super hot and you're just kind of there, like, let it go.
Yeah.
Let
yeah.
it go.
If
let,
it's
let
not her devastating.
But if you look like shit and you got like, you know, pit stains and whatever, just, you know, and we're not going to post that one. Please. Yeah,
keep that in the hopper.
Yeah. You gotta maintain the veto operation.
I just like how he's. I can picture this guy writing this email. I mean, like, she just looks at the ones of herself and then she just posts them, and I don't even get a sneak peek.
Yeah, and you know what? She should at least run them by you first.
Yeah,
I think.
Run it by you.
We ask first, like, hey, is it cool if I post this one? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a pretty common practice.
This is a. Kind of leaning this will be my shower thought as we kind of get off this question, but stay on it. Why do people take 1,000 pictures at a time? You know, like
yeah,
I get you. at that point,
because they all vary slightly.
Slightly. And so are those slight differences enough to be like, oh, I look hotter here because of this like 2-inch difference of my jaw? Or I don't. And I'm going to generalize girls here. Girls do this more than guys. Guys can whip out one click and we're out.
But we've all been conditioned to do it now. Like if someone hands me that, like if a stranger is like, hey, can we take a picture of my family? Like, sure, I'll take 12.
I'm clicking through.
Yeah.
I'm clicking through because that's
here,
like etiquette
have a ball.
Now.
Pick out one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just common that because it's all digital. So you just delete it and move on. That's why.
Yeah. I mean,
back when there was actual photography, like hard, you know, film and shit, you couldn't do that.
Just waste, Pop-Pop.
You'd waste film.
He was at Kodak for a while doing the film stuff.
Big ups to Pop-Pop. Yep. Very cool.
Rest in peace, Pop-Pop.
Yeah.
Dylan, that'll do it for questions. Do you have a any shower thoughts that are percolating around?
You start. It might inspire me a little bit.
The shower thought I had was related to Jeeps. Jeep. I have a Grand Cherokee myself. You said you had a Grand Cherokee back in the day.
Uh-huh, it's too.
It's the perfect, you know, late 20s guy car. I feel like it's kind of run of the mill. They came out with a new one, a 3-row Jeep.
It looks heat.
It's heat. They also have the Grand Wagoneer that's like 90 grand. I'm probably not in that weight class yet.
Is it that much?
Yeah. Well, there's 70 something. You
know, one of my shower thought last time was about the price of SUVs today.
It is.
What the fuck happened?
Through the roof. And gas is going back up.
Sheesh.
Man, I don't know. I just saw that. I saw that on the TL the other day. I thought that was a pretty impressive looking car. Might be in the wheelhouse in a couple of years here.
Really?
Just saying. I probably have to pay off my current one. But.
So your shower thought is that you might be in the market for a new car
okay. 3 years. I had a better one as of yesterday. I totally forgot about it.
I have one.
Oh. Okay. I have. Go ahead.
Mine's about teleportation. Him. Teleporting.
Nice.
And how we spend so much of our lives either in cars or in planes or however you travel. Okay. Traveling is a bitch, right?
Yes, it is.
How dope would it be, first of all, two-parter, how dope would it be to be able to teleport places?
Yep.
But the other side of that coin, how disruptive teleporting would be to so many industries.
Oh, it would.
Whoever creates it.
Yeah,
there would have to be a very methodical, strategic plan on how to release it, how to use it, how much it'll cost,
dude,
who gets their hands on it. Because if there's one in every household, if you could teleport it, cars would be obsolete, roads would be obsolete, no more car insurance, plane industries kaput, all that stuff.
You know what this tells me?
How dope would it be?
You know what this tells me?
What?
It exists.
Right. That's another thing. If it did exist, would we see it?
Nope. No chance.
You know how the first light bulb, I feel like this is a high thought.
Hit me.
The first light bulb ever created is still lit up. Do you know that?
No.
We've had the technology this entire time to create a light bulb that doesn't go out. But if you have one, you're never going to have to buy a light bulb again because it's going to live forever.
Forever.
So there are like intentional, I don't know the word I'm looking for here. Intentional, like, withholding of technology, of inventions, of things.
Maybe aliens,
for the purpose
perhaps.
Of, like,
industry.
The betterment of industry or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably a much more eloquent way of saying what I just said. But I'm onto something.
You are onto something. Teleportation. See, I would be scared, though,
Airline lobbyists. They don't want that to exist.
Big airlines?
Big airlines. They don't want teleporting
do you know
to
how
exist.
Many, do you know how many sovereign states own a state-run airline? Like, that's where they put a shit ton of money in so they can get people around and create industry in their countries.
God.
So you're gonna take your half your federal budget and be like, oh, that.
What if you could hop into a little machine, hit a button, like, I want to go to Peru.
Go to Peru?
You're in Peru. Boom.
Dude. I've always wanted to do that. I would be scared because, like, if something's scrambling your junk like that, you got to put it back together.
They're going to test it first, Brett. Make sure it's safe. You know,
but like
they're going to test it with a marble first, and then they're going to go to like a rat.
Do you think we're batting 1,000 though? Like putting everything back together?
Exactly they're not going to release it until it's batting 1,000. You know,
but even if it bats 9999999, and you get the one where it's like, fuck, my arm is toast.
There's got to be some experiments exist. I think there's an experiment exists where they like they tried to, like, an atom was
quantum states.
Some, I don't, this terminology, it might just be teleporting. They okay. it moved, like, if it moved instantaneously somewhere,
and
that's like the basis for teleportation.
So I think the technology's out there. I think they just can't, like, they can't put it out. Imagine if humans didn't need to move. They could just stay where like
all the jobs lost, you know, like,
yeah.
So the downfall of an innovation that grand would be exponential.
Would be worse than the
maybe
upside. Maybe
upside would be so dope. If I had one of myself, I wouldn't tell anybody about it. Well, I would actually. I would sell it for like. I would create a few of them and sell those.
Dude, that's...
Keep one for myself, but I would sell them for like $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
You name your price, right?
Yeah. What I'm thinking, though, is maybe it's... There's a cap on how, like, infinitely disruptive it would be, right? Because to teleport, I would assume you have to go into a machine, right? You can't just teleport to, like, there, like, in the room. You would have to go, like, machine to machine.
I mean, I don't know. At least it doesn't exist, as far as we know. So I don't know what it looks like.
I don't think you just teleport
like, maybe you just like point maybe your phone at something. It's like teleport this guy to, you know, Tahiti,
yeah.
And you're there. How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty dope. Same vein. We can discuss teleporting on the Patreon High Thoughts of Malin podcast at some point. We're getting flying cars here soon, which are probably
been hearing that for a minute.
Yeah, we have, but. The problem would be like gas engine aircraft that are personal vehicles that like require, you know, some pretty heavy duty machinery / gas / like training.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting batteries that can keep drones up there for like hours. And we're getting navigation systems that you pretty much hit a button and you can go. By yourself.
I thought by now we would see more autonomous vehicles on the road.
That's going to happen sooner than
later,
I
think. I want to get in the car and just type in an address and just take a nap. Wake up, I'm at my destination. When is that going to happen?
Here's a hot take alert. I think we're going to have flying autonomous vehicles before we have full-scale driving autonomous vehicles. Because the air's got, it's just less.
Too many variables on the road?
Yeah.
Fair.
Which there's a lot in the air too. Don't get me wrong, I just think there's less like traffic variables, physical variables, a lot more weather, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, fair point.
I think we're getting that soon, and I think
there's so many things to account for on the road.
There are so many. Austin's gonna be quick on the jump too, because it's like that kind of city, you know, where they'd like to like experiment with stuff.
Does it know how to like change lanes and shit and like all that stuff? Like,
what do you mean? Oh, on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Or supposedly. But in the air, dude.
Wild.
In the air, change lanes whatever you want.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Was that Back to the Future?
I don't know.
Adam's snickering like I messed it up, but that's okay.
I don't know that. Adam, do you want to correct Dylan?
No, that was the line. Pretty sure that was right.
I think it's Back to the Future.
Yeah, okay. It's the end of the first one.
Yeah, okay. See?
Got it. Good for you guys. I'm happy for you guys. I think we're going to start building buildings soon that have sky decks to land your personal vehicle on.
That'd be sick.
I think it's going to happen. New York kind of has
the learning curve in training people up on these things.
That's the thing though. You just step in and you go.
So it'll start autonomously.
You're like in the vehicle and it senses you're in there and you'll just.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll start. You know how it'll start is like there'll be a fleet that you go like it'll be like. Uber, right, where you can request one to your location. It won't be personal just yet unless you're Bill Gates type of thing.
Yeah.
And then you'll go use like
dope, man.
The Uber of aircraft. It'll probably be fucking Uber, honestly. God. They'll buy whatever company is like the most ready.
What if there's a teleport machine out there just sitting there? No one's using it because it would fuck up so many other things.
It would. Literally every industry.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to, you're going to go to a bar and Omaha, Nebraska, or are you going to go to West 6th? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Or, like
I want to have dinner in New York City right now.
Yeah.
You know, let's fucking go.
Dude, I was gonna say we would live nowhere near each other, but we wouldn't need to. We wouldn't need to. You know what would happen is like the most beautiful places in the world would just become
dumps.
They become the only place that anybody goes. Because like we already you're gonna go to St. Louis, no offense, for like river rafting. I don't know.
I don't know. What do you go to?
You're gonna go to Malibu Arch? Like every day.
It's wild.
I don't know, man.
Good stuff.
Adam, what's your thoughts on teleporting?
Are you down to try it?
I'm down to try it.
Yeah, okay. For sure, man.
I can be the first human they put in there. That'd be sick.
You probably won't be the first.
No, you won't be the first. Fun episode, Dylan.
I had a good time.
That was fun.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Subscribe to the Mail-In Podcast. Rate 5 stars. Review. Tell a friend. We'll probably get some funny clips out of this one. Hotline number to leave a voicemail is 888-362-MAIL. That's 888-362-6245. We can write in the link in the Twitter bio at Mail-In Podcast. Dylan, where can the people find you?
Ooh, thanks for asking. Follow me at dchivery on Twitter and Instagram. That's CHEVERERE.
Nailed it.
Four E's.
Adam, thank you. Over on the ones and twos.
Yep.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.